Are you at peace right now? As you sit here, are you at peace? Throughout the day, when you're having a rough time at school, rough time at work, rough time in the car, rough time at home, are you at peace? When you lie down to go to sleep at night, are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? Are you at peace with God? 7 centuries before Christ was born, Isaiah talked about the Messiah, the Christ who would come. In chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, when an angel announced to shepherds that the Messiah had been born and that they would find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, verses 13 and 14 then says, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" In the Beatitudes, Jesus was expressing his characteristics of those who would be his followers. In Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In Acts 10, verse 36, the Apostle Peter was speaking to the first potential Gentile converts, and he said, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." God has always desired peace, and he desires that his people be a people of peace, a people who seek peace, and a people who live at peace with God, with others, and with themselves. The cry for peace has probably been around since Adam blamed Eve for giving him the forbidden fruit, and the cry got even louder when Cain killed Abel. Lasting peace only lasts until the next conflict. National conflicts, political disagreements, broken relationships, internal anxiety are what generally characterize the world in which we live. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says one of the most encouraging things in Scripture. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." From the New International Version, it says, "The peace of God which transcends all understanding." God's Word translation says, "God's peace which goes beyond anything we can imagine." The Contemporary English Version says it this way, "Because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand, and this peace will control the way you think and feel." Jesus Christ came to give us peace in 3 areas. First, he gives us peace with God. God is holy. He cannot look on sin. But Jesus paid the penalty for our sins by his death on the cross, and he made forgiveness available for all who will trust and obey. We can be reconciled to God. We can be brought back into harmony with God. We can be at peace with God through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Second, Jesus enables us to have peace with one another. Christians are taught to forgive, to mend relationships, and to live in peace and harmony with others. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, well, just a portion of that actually, verse 15, Paul said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." Christ even taught us to love our enemies, to be at peace, if you will, with our enemies. In Matthew 5, 43 through 45, you've heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you to love even your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And third, Jesus gives us inner peace. Christ's peace is an internal quietness and serenity of the soul. It's found only in a relationship with Him. Think about it. When you know that all has been made right between you and the one who controls the universe, you will know inner peace. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." Philippians 4, 6, and 7 again. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." But this peace often eludes us because we let outside circumstances and inner thoughts disturb us. Inner peace is difficult because there is a war going on within each of us. And this makes it difficult to make peace with others because how we relate to ourselves affects how we relate to others. Makes it difficult to be at peace in any situation. We dislike our appearance. Some of us do. We struggle with feelings of inadequacy. We wrestle with a sense of unworthiness. There's no tranquility for those who think they're undeserving of anything good because they base their worth on their feelings and on the bad things they've done instead of basing their worth on the promises of God. We struggle with feelings of insecurity. We grapple with a sense of not belonging, and we often wrestle with feeling unloved and unlovable. Our world is characterized by criticism and blame rather than acceptance and love. If any of these things characterize us, we don't have Christ's peace ruling in our hearts because our minds are filled with critical thoughts about ourselves. We are at war with ourselves. These thoughts affect how we function throughout the day. They affect how we think of ourselves. They affect how we relate to other people. They affect how we perceive and interact with God. These thoughts can also prompt us to sin by trying to get our needs met in a way that's contrary to God's will. If we don't deal with these issues, we will carry them into the future, and they will adversely affect all our relationships. God doesn't want us bearing a heavy load of negative thoughts and feelings regarding ourselves and others. Christ can set us free from thoughts that steal our peace. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." In the 34th Psalm, David said, "Seek peace and pursue it." In Romans 14, verse 19, Paul said, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So instead of passively waiting for peace and harmony, we should actively seek peace. Peace doesn't come easily, it doesn't come cheaply. And some people make you earn peace. Living at peace with others often requires patience and forgiveness. Some of us are difficult to love. In Romans 12, verse 18, Paul said, "If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." More often than not, in the world, peace is completely dependent upon circumstances. When both parties get their terms met satisfactorily, when they come to an agreement based on those terms, then and only then can peace be realized. And even then, the peace lasts only as long as the conditions are met. In order to have peace in the world, everything must line up. That's not how God's peace works. The peace of God does not come because there's agreement in that sense. Many times the circumstances are so at odds with each other that it would make peace seem impossible. There's just too much chaos. We often make the assumption that peace is the absence of chaos. And that's the kind of peace that the world offers. But the peace of God is different. The peace that Christ promises is the peace of calm in the midst of chaos. God's peace exists in the midst of chaos. And so we see that God's peace is not the world's peace. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In John 14, 27, Jesus spoke these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus states emphatically that he gives his followers something that the world cannot give. Notice, Jesus did not say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid because I'm going to set everything in order." Jesus didn't say, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid because I'm going to remove and eliminate all conflicts and I'm going to make everyone treat you nicely and make everything go your way." Christ offers peace even when things are falling apart around you and when everything looks desperate. God's peace exists in the midst of chaos. God's peace is a defense. In chapter 4 of the letter to the Philippians, after urging Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord and calling on backup to help them get their relationship issues settled, it logically follows that Paul turns his attention to teachings that bring and maintain the peace of God. Our text, once again, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always," Paul says. "I will say it again, rejoice. Let your forgiving spirit be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Look at verse 7 again. Notice the word guard. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard means a fortress or a group of soldiers that protect and make secure. God's peace is not weak. God's peace is powerful and protective. The peace of God will watch over your heart and mind, we're told. It will stand against any foreign invaders like anxiety, worry, or fear. Many times we don't know peace because we're distracted and we're focusing on everything that's going on. We're focusing on all the problems. We're focusing on all the turmoil. And we leave God out of the picture. In Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, we're told as Jesus and his disciples were traveling, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." When we get caught up in distractions and problems, we forget God's sovereignty, we forget God's authority, we forget who we serve and who is really in control. We forget whose child we are. When this happens, our peace vanishes. Whatever is your source of anxiety or worry, place that in God's hands. Give him your anxieties, your problems, your cares, your worries. Peter said to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And God's peace is continuous. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Paul said, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." His peace is a refuge whenever you are dealing with the issues of life. Let me say that again with a re-emphasis on a different word. His peace is a refuge whenever you are dealing with the issues of life. How do you get the peace of God? We live in a world that seeks peace but doesn't know what it is or doesn't know where to get it. Where do you go to get peace? Do you go to the woods, to nature, that is? And there's a certain peace to be found there, but it doesn't offer the peace we're talking about. Some may try to find peace at the gym or on the golf course. Then they come home and fight with their spouse. Peace is not found in a place. It's not found in a thing. Peace, true and lasting peace, is found only in a person. We find peace through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Many have made peace with God by becoming a Christian, but they still can't seem to find this peace that we're talking about. We can read the promises of God's peace, but how do you get to this place where the peace of God reigns in your heart? The answer to that is right here in our text. Pray. When your situation leads you to anxiety, that same situation should lead you to prayer. Again, do not be anxious about anything, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The only way we'll ever have Christ's peace is by surrendering ourselves to him. We don't have to carry around a load of unforgiveness, hurt, grief, and guilt when we have a Savior who can heal and deliver us, a Savior who can replace our burden with his peace and joy. Jesus issued a well-known invitation in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus' invitation is extended to those who are burdened and exhausted by guilt and by legalism. the efforts to attain salvation by earning it. The rest that Jesus promises is the rest, the relief that comes from laying our burdens at His feet and renewing our spirit through the removal of guilt by the forgiveness of our sins and the removal of legalistic burdens. The word peace is not used in the text, but when he says, "You will find rest for your souls," it's hard to think of a better description of the word peace. The classic edition of the Amplified Bible says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls." Sounds a lot like peace to me. What thoughts about yourself are you carrying around that rob you of God's peace? How do they contradict what the Lord says about you in His Word? How do they compare with what the Bible says about God and His relationship with you? What thoughts about others are hindering you from having harmonious relationships? Are you willing to lay down your critical thoughts and feelings about yourself and others at Jesus' feet so you can know His peace? Are you ready to trust Him to make things work out for the best? Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, once again, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way."